Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are live from the path.
And you are listening to Live from the Path. We're coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. It's What? I hate when you guys sit behind me.
Sorry.
I can't keep an eye on what's going on. I hate it.
There's nothing we can do. When Mike and I sit right next to each other, we always say something stupid right as the show is starting, and then both start laughing where no one else can enjoy it. Welcome to the show. You're listening to Live from the Path.
It's like having someone follow you around town is what it's like to do this show.
You've never had anyone follow you around town.
I did, too. I had this. Okay, so I had this experience one time. I was walking down. I work downtown, okay? And I had this experience where I was walking on my lunch break over to the Quick Trip or something, and there's a guy that followed me for three blocks. And he doesn't look like a guy that, I mean, he wasn't going where I was going. And he was one of those guys where he looked like he was walking a lot slower than me, but somehow also seemed to keep pace. That's the scariest dude.
I was going to say, that sounds like a slasher film.
It is the scariest dude ever.
I do that to people sometimes. You have long legs, you can just have long strides, and they look back and think, oh, he's cool. Hey.
Yeah. Hey, Ben, was it by chance Dan that was following behind you and creepily?
Did he have a black trench coat?
You might be misinterpreting what they're looking back and thinking.
No,
no, he's cool.
Hey, man, he's deceptively fast. That seems like a cool deal. If I try and run away, I'm not 100% certain I could make it. That's totally cool by me.
All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us on this, I don't know, if you're watching the live show, it's a Monday evening. If it's Saturday, that means you're listening on 99.3 The Truth Network, and you had plenty of time to know better. And so I cannot make an excuse as to what you hear, because there's been a full, like, 5-6 days of which you could have listened to snippets of the show when Silverside wasn't on and said, you know what, this is not for me. I'll just wait till they do the clips, okay? But you're listening to the live show, and that means you run your own life. Here's what we got going on the show tonight. Boomer's got some Pope style. Boomer, you got a preview on the Pope style?
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, I've been trying to figure out what it is entirely, but hey, man. Youth does not mean you can be irresponsible. There you go. There's your Pope style preview.
Okay, preview on the Pope style. Youth does not mean that you can be irresponsible.
Yes.
Okay, sweet. Definitely top five, maybe top three. I'm almost willing to say top one. Favorite musical guests are in the studio tonight. Silverside is joining us. Hey, Silverside, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, thanks for having us.
You guys are half as jazzed to see me as I am to see you.
Just like going home.
Going to see the in-laws.
We didn't know the direction of what was happening, so when you said our names, we were just like, oh, that's us.
wake up.
Now.
So we're going to catch up with them. We're going to talk about their EP, Casting Shadows, is out. And we're going to learn about that album. They're going to do some in-studio performances. And don't forget, we've been hammering this for the last couple weeks. Do not forget tomorrow, Tuesday, this will be July 14th at 7 o'clock. They've graciously granted to stay in town another day and do a benefit for Joppa, which benefits the homeless. And Boova, help remind the folks what that money's going to and kind of what are the needs that you've been seeing out there.
So when I go out to the camps and I spend some time out there meeting anybody, you don't realize the basic stuff that they're missing. It's hot outside. You guys think it's beast hot. Imagine being out there at all points in time. And down by the river that's been flooding, it's gross, it's nasty, there's plenty of bugs. So one of the biggest needs we're looking for is still water bottles. Clean water is such a big thing that's going to be very important for these people. Bug spray is a commodity that you have no idea what it means to them. I take down a can of bug spray, and I swear to you, they're going to hug me more than if I brought down a tent, some food, and a bunch of different blankets. Like, they love the bug spray. Obviously, the regular camping equipment of four-man tents. We're looking for green and brown tarps that they can actually kind of conceal their camps a little bit with, and then obviously non-perishable food items and things like that.
Okay, sweet. So if you come on out, it's at 6523 Merle Hay Road in Johnston, and we'd like you to come out, and if you could bring some of that stuff, that would be sweet. I got like a suggested donation of $5. I really don't care what you bring. I just want you to come out, and if you got something that could help these folks out, please bring it. And we'll make sure it gets into the right place. We're going to give the proceeds to Joppa. I was talking to the founders of Joppa just a couple days ago. They're pretty excited about the event. And I think they're pretty excited that we can partner with them in this way and with Silverside to do something cool for those folks that have been displaced by the flooding. It's just, again, talking about bug spray, right? Like, not only have the rivers risen with the rain and stuff and swept a lot of their stuff away, like, it really doesn't help the mosquito population either.
No.
That's rough times. And so, yeah, they can definitely use some help. Please come out to that thing. Like I said, it's tomorrow. It's the 14th, July 14th, 7 o'clock, 6523 Merle Hay Road in Johnson. Silverside will be playing. And I think we originally kind of thought it was going to be an acoustic show, but I think we're going to get a bit of a half and half or a 75-25. I'm not really certain on the ratio, but it's going to be awesome regardless of what goes on here. So I just recommend you come out. It's going to be sweet. All right, so let's if you are unfamiliar, I want to get to know Silverside. So maybe we'll start off with, tell me a little bit about Casting Shadows. This been in work for a while, right?
Yeah, Casting Shadows, we originally planned to have out in 2014.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we had commissioned a producer, and we had recorded a lot of the stuff on our own, and we needed some vocals and mixing and mastering done, and so we commissioned someone to a producer local to us, and it just wasn't God's timing. I felt like we were kind of pushing it, and everything got pushed back and kept getting pushed back with the producer, and then we started hearing some of this stuff come out, and you know, God bless his heart. It just wasn't what we wanted, and it wasn't what we needed. And unfortunately, that at that point, we had to say no. And we had this whole album that was mastered, and we prayed about it and talked it over as a band and said, this isn't who Silverside is. Lyrically, it was solid, but musically, it just wasn't right. So
wow,
we had to...
that's got to be a really... tough decision to come to after you kind of you've soaked all that not only time and energy but you
money
had a chance to have a finished product, right?
Yeah, I mean, we paid for it, and I mean, it wasn't a ton of money, but it was all the money that we had at the time.
Sure.
And it was a big decision, honestly, and we came out straight up to our fans because we had people who were just they had helped support the album.
Yep.
And they were asking, you know, hey, when's it going to be done? We're super excited. And, you know, we pushed the release date back, and then we pushed it back again. And we just felt so terrible. And then finally, once we got the finished product, we were like, yes. And then we're like, oh, wait a second.
Right.
This isn't, nothing's right about this. And so we prayed about it, and we said, you know, we have to postpone the release probably till next year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're going to, I felt like all of our fans were going to hate us, and it was a really bold move on our end to just be like, hey, we promised you all this, and now we're just going to make you wait for another year. And I felt really bad about it. And
so what was the fan reaction?
We put our press release out, and we let everybody know honestly what happened and that we had to say no to the album and its mastering. And everybody's response was so gracious. We had people messaging us, and we had people responding to us like, take the time that you need. We want you guys to have everything in place, and it's all going to be in God's timing, and which is all, it's what we knew anyway, but I felt like in essence, looking back, I feel like we were trying to rush God's timing.
Yeah.
And thinking, well, it's been 2 years, we need to put out another album. God needed us to wait 3, you know, and we didn't know why until now. When with the release in March this year, we had Casting Shadows come out, and it wasn't a full length, it was an EP, but the songs on it, we are fully confident that they are what we have offered as our best work right now, and it's something that we can put down and close our eyes at the end of the day and say we put everything we could into that album, and we could not have given anything else. Vocally, I walked out of the studio with walking pneumonia, just pushed so hard. Musically, you know, the guys were writing, and Nate and our music producer were just writing drum parts and little accents that, you know, musicians would hear and pick up. And our album, I feel like, has so much dynamic to it, with still keeping true to a heavier sound than our first album, Circus Circus, but then coming in with the essence of Silverside, but just better.
Yeah.
And that's really how we feel about it. So our fan response was amazing, and once we released Casting Shadows, it's just been nonstop. It's the praises keep coming in for it, and we haven't. I think we've had one guy message us and say, "You know what? I love this album, but I love your previous one for or better." And I was like, "You know, you're entitled to your opinion, but everything
but
else."
That's not smart of you.
Everything, yeah. But you're an idiot. No.
But by the way,
yeah, no, it was something that, you know, you have to respect them. You know, yeah. people have things that they like better, and but overall, our response has just been we've been blown away. So.
Mike,
awesome.
Mike, you've enjoyed this album. Tell me a little about what your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I picked it up actually when as soon as it came out because I had started an online message board because I was so upset that the other one that it hadn't come out yet. But no, anyway, I picked it up as soon as it came out and it encapsulates what they do extremely well rounded, right? And I was really listening to like Anthem I love. Anthem's just a straight up rocker anyway,
yeah.
And you know, and that one picked up off me because that's it's like living life kind of tunes. I'd like to say like if you were like let's say there's 10 deer in your backyard and you were going to go out and try to shoo them away with a shovel, I'd probably put Anthem on and go out there and start straightening them up. And no, Boova, there's no side commentary to what I'm saying. I got this covered. but there's like the whole album is extremely well rounded. There's harder parts that you can just sit out and rock to, and then like she said, lyrically like. It's personal, you know. It's not something you can just phone in or pressed just to get something out there. Like the lyrics mean something, and since I knew them, like the lyrics meant more to me maybe than somebody who doesn't know them as personally. We've talked for a while about some of the stories involved and whatever, and like just on and all, it was one of the more impressive albums that I picked up last year.
Very cool, Boova. You said you were rocking on the way here to that business.
Yeah, absolutely. So. I would agree with Mike for the most part, except for maybe the 10 deer and the shovel thing. I don't know if...
I would do 20 deer, and I would light the shovel on fire.
We just talked about people getting to have their own opinions, and I don't appreciate you trying to tell me how to live my life.
Yeah, and my opinion is that was a weird way to put that. So I don't know if you guys have gotten the 10 deer and shovel review before, but
not yet,
now
no.
You've got it. So I think that I've connected with you guys quite a bit. I mean, the last time you guys were in studio was an amazing time for me, just as getting to know some of you guys as the band members, and then a little bit of the story behind you guys. But I'm going to comment on Rescue Me. When I heard that song, and you've got the part in the beginning, and I believe it's your mom that's on
it is.
On the track. That it's just it sounds like a voicemail from her. Mm-hmm. I literally that just started like that opened my heart to it. And it really is an amazing thing. And some of you guys know about my mom and dad, but, I mean, not going into that. I mean, it was such an amazing thing to have that opened up after just completely smashing my face into my steering wheel rocking through most of the album. it kind of opened me up to be able to listen to that even more and really connect to that. And I've connected with you guys before in that. And so I would highly endorse that album entirely, but more importantly, that song. I thought it was incredible that I was able to connect to that from a level that I don't normally get with a rock group that I can really just like completely jam out to and throw up as loud as I can and just scare everyone that I'm driving next to, which is exactly how I like to listen to music. I like to be if no one's staring at me while I'm listening to music, there's a problem. I'm not listening to it loud enough. So it was an honest song that I could tell where you guys were going with it, and then it really opened up my heart to just listen to the lyrics and not just listen to the music, but seriously listen to what you guys were trying to say. So
awesome.
Amazing album.
Thank you. That means a lot.
So if folks are interested in this thing, where can they pick it up?
Well, they can obviously hit up one of our shows that they can find out about on silversod.com or on our Facebook. But for anyone across the country who can't readily get to one of our shows right now, you can the best way is either going to iTunes and downloading it for yourself. We are on Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and then if you wanted to get a hard copy of it, you can go ahead and go to cdbaby.com /Silverside, and both of our albums are on there for purchase, and they will send it out to you, and it will be shipped with love and care. They're great to us, and they're awesome to work with, and they will take care of you.
Sweet. CD Baby. You can get it on the iTunes. Go pick that stuff up. It's called Casting Shadows. It's by Silverside. And you gotta hit up the live show, too. Like, that's the best place to buy merch. Like, yeah, it's getting easier and easier to buy merchandise without having to be at a show. But it really is the right place to do it, right? Like, you get a just a much fuller experience of what the band is about. A lot of times, especially in this, with you just get a chance to interact with people. You get a chance to kind of get a better feel for the vibe, and just a more well-rounded experience. So, like, definitely, if you have the opportunity to catch the live show and pick up merch there, that's a cool way to do it. Short of that, though, definitely get that thing downloaded, take a listen to it, and check it out. So let's let them kind of hear you guys musically. What's the first tune you're going to play?
Well, like I said, before we started the show, I have to put a disclaimer on this. If my vocals are at all audibly offensive,
we'll call it the Dan.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
We've had some very intense shows with not a lot of good hydration for me personally during heat spells, and my vocals have, you can hear it now as I'm talking, my vocals have kind of taken a little bit of a turn. So we're going to try to eke out one or two, and then we'll see how it goes. We might have one more if you want, but I can't guarantee it. I'm just winging a prayer right now that we can get through this song. But we're gonna start out with our full band, and we're going to do the first track on our new album. It's called Closer. And it's actually a song about bullying and getting over hurtful words, and obviously forgiveness, and that's it. And the rest of it's pretty aggressive. So,
all right. Well, this is Closer. You're listening to Silverside on Live from the Path.
I'll punch right through my chest, taking more hits. Now I'm lying on the floor, catching my breath. I have to brace myself for more. You try, but you can't break me. Here I stand with a silent cry. My heart bleeds out. What I have to say is real. Your complications put a mask on what you feel. Reaching for help is your one salvation now. Cutting me down is only half your problem now. You try, but you can't hurt me. Here I stand.
Nothing I say.
So as promised, that was the best I could give you.
Hey, man.
Sorry.
That was great. It was great.
That's terrible.
What?
There was I apologize.
There was an awesome growl part that I was missing. Like, it was Jeremiah. You guys missed it. You got to get the live album. It's solid. I promise you. It's good.
That'll be at our live show tomorrow that you're missing, Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
What?
They're going to rock it at the live show tomorrow that you're not coming to.
Ah, junk.
You're really something else.
Nah, I'm the worst of the worst. I'm Sub Dan.
that's bottom.
That's really rough.
So I mean, is that song a reaction to something specifically, or just kind of looking out at a culture where that's an issue?
Yes. No.
No.
No. No to the second. Yes to the first.
Something specific, huh?
It was something very specific.
Got it.
And I forgive that person, and I don't want to bring it up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's understandable.
It's something that it was done to me right after my mom died by someone who was severely two-faced.
Oh, yeah.
And I still get angry. It's
right.
One of those things where I was, like, so angry I wrote a song about it. And honestly, I forgive them for the last year and a half. I had to forgive them almost daily, just like thinking about it. And but yeah, you know, and that's the thing, like, forgiveness is so detrimental to our walk with Christ, and it's something that hinders everything that we do if we just allow bitterness and anger and unforgiveness to rule our hearts. And so coming to the point where I could actually you know, write a song about it and be like, be okay with singing it and not letting that situation affect me, you know, it was a big move of God in my heart.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been hurt a lot in my life, but this specific time was, you know, talking about me and my band, and I'm like,
yeah,
not cool,
right?
Spreading lies. And it was something that we got a song out of, you know. And the song does, you know, on the bridge, it does focus on, you know, how my heart breaks for you, my friend. You know, the lies that you told are going to be shown in the end. And that's exactly how I believe that with, you know, God will illuminate the truth. And that's, he's done it time and time again in my life, where he's just, you know, in whatever situation, God will, justice will prevail.
Yeah.
And that's all we can fall back on. And that song was really, I was angry when I wrote it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's it. And I forgive and love and, you know, but we're emotional human beings. We still get angered and,
yeah,
you know.
Well, you know,
God created us.
Yeah, I mean, it's a right and understandable reaction to injustice, right?
Yes.
The question is then, where do we eventually go to point for that justice to be done or things to be put right? And it's whether we hold on to those things as if whatever we can hold on to, somehow we have the power to change the circumstance, or you put it in the hands of the God who can do anything with it.
Right.
Either give us the power to forgive in light of something that is very difficult for us to forgive, similar to what he has done. Ultimately, to bring everything and put it to right.
Right.
And so, and I think you're right. I think we sometimes as humans underestimate how powerful holding on to things actually is. Right. Like, I mean, I think conceptually you can think through it and say, yes, I've given it a foothold. Yes, I've carried it longer than the moment has been. If a moment has come and gone, and it had a power, any given moment has the power to impact you in the moment itself. If I punch you in the face, like, you're gonna feel it in that moment, right? That's when the moment happened.
Right.
But to the extent that you kind of retain that and keep that in your life as you continue to go, you've given it more power than the moment itself actually owned.
Right.
And you've fed it and let it create something. And that's very difficult. I think sometimes we want to feel. I know I've had this in my own life where, like, I want to. Sometimes I don't want to forgive quickly, because I feel like I'm not done feeling about it yet.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. I'm not finished thinking about it. I'm not finished, like, going through how I feel like I should react to it. I'm not finished having a pretty good judgment on the guy that did it,
right.
and how he's been acting. And the thing is all that, though, is centered on me trying to figure out, how can I be justified in this situation?
Right.
How can I figure out and sort it out and make it right? And it's probably it's a weird dichotomy, because I can look out and I'm trying to take something that I believe was wrong or evil, and I'm trying to find a way to see it right. And, right. And that's just not how it works.
Right.
But I mean, no one sits there in the moment, and especially in big things, and thinks like that. It can really drag you, and sometimes you drag it for long periods of time, and it's very difficult.
And yes, and you're so right when you pointed out, you know, how we just hold on to it for so much longer, and almost, you know, dragged it on and on and on. And we were just reading a book called The Shack. I don't know if anyone's if you've ever heard or read it. But that book is huge on forgiveness.
Hang on a minute. I'm sorry. Has everyone read The Shack but me?
Probably. No.
No.
I
have not
read it either. What, I mean, is it a touchy-feely book? Why haven't I read it? Tell me.
It's a book that is... I don't think it's like a touchy-feely.
It's not really touchy-feely. It's actually it's a fiction story, and it gets into how we perceive God in a lot of different ways, and how situations that we can become bitter and hold that you know, unjustified pain through our lives, and how that can really warp how we view a lot of things. And it's got so many like revelations. If you read the book, I would suggest it.
I mean, how would you say a simpleton would take it in? If you were to say no, a simpleton.
If you can read,
just
it.
For example,
it's not a very long book.
Okay, now we're looking. Now things are looking up.
There are no pictures, but
that's a disappointment.
You can get the imagery that's captured within those pages. I think is enough for your imagination to kind of explode with every concept that's trying to go on in that.
So, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sidebar in the shack.
It's okay. I just want to. I
felt like I was
a
different class of people there for a minute. I had no idea what was going on.
The Shack really, well, it points out just what we were talking about forgiveness, and how if you're, you've been wronged, and you have every right to feel violated, you know, taken advantage of, used, and angry. You can feel, you know, those are very valid responses to hurt. And in the character in the book, his youngest daughter was 5 years old and kidnapped and killed. Mm-hmm. And the whole point was, we become judge, jury, and executioner.
Right.
And even though saying the person who had taken and murdered his daughter was very on the path for, you know, justifiably somebody could take their life because of what they did, you know, or he could be, you know, arrested and put into jail and executed.
Right.
The point of the book was seeing with compassion and seeing how God sees his children and saying, am I going to send you to hell for this? You know, if you repent to me, and you're still a murderer, but if you repent to me, I forgive you of those sins, and saying, you know, and that forgiveness allows God to work in those situations so that God, because God loves everybody regardless of who they are and regardless of what they've done, they're still his creations. And that's sometimes hard to, in big or small situations, when we're angry and we're, you know, driving down the road and angry at somebody, we still have to understand that God created everybody. He loves us equally and wants all of his children to come back to him.
Yeah.
And that was really a big highlighting of the book. And that's, honestly, forgiveness is, you know, unforgiveness is holding a knife to somebody's throat that they're not even aware that's there.
Right.
And it's only killing you.
Was that in The Shack? Because that's fairly metaphorical, I can grab onto.
Yes, it was. So okay. Moving on, I wanted to say that song is about forgiveness, and it is about being hurt and bullied, and yes, I was angry when I wrote it. I did forgive, and but that song is relevant, you know.
Yeah, no. So. I think it is, and I think it's something where I hate to paint with such a broad brush, but I do feel like as a society, we are having trouble digesting things, like dealing with things. Like we live in moments. We take snapshots of moments. We reminisce about 5 days ago. You know, like we don't, stuff doesn't go on. We don't move on and then think about it. Like, we're thinking about it 5 days after. And so, like, unless we can learn on how to, I don't know, digest those types of moments, you end up carrying a very large amount of baggage in your life. Mm. And I thought it was interesting, like, when you were talking about kind of like the reactions to someone treating you in a poor way, the truth is like, when you react, when you're hurt, and when you feel like things were unjust, or you're angry, like those mean that you see the situation rightly, right? Because like that's what people unjust behavior looks like. It means that you see it for what it is, and then forgiveness is the next step that says, understanding what it is, I'm basically willing to take the price of that act onto myself. And then move on, and like, because you can't exact a price from another man and still have forgiven him. Like, it's you basically taking the impact of it. I think when we talk about biblical forgiveness, it doesn't mean not recognizing something for what it is. Christ certainly recognized,
you know, people get that screwed up all the time. They're like you don't notice a thing happen.
Yeah,
like you. No, I didn't notice. I've been injustice.
And it also doesn't. Well, that's the thing. It doesn't excuse them from what they've done, but it releases you. In order, you know, coming back to the book, like, that murderer is still accountable for everything he's done, but his soul, once is forgiven and God gets a hold of it, you know, his soul is now accounted for heaven, and ultimately, you know.
And we, you know what, I talk about this with my kids all the time, too, and like, sometimes I err on the wrong side, you know, where something has happened to them at school, or somebody has treated them a certain way, and... You know, I go, look, you need to forgive them for what they did. You know what I'm saying? It's not worth you carrying around, kind of ignoring the fact that they were legit hurt in that situation, right? Like, someone did say something that was outrageous and unnecessary and made them think twice about the truth that I told them about themselves.
Right.
I told them they were this person. I told them how God feels about them. And they second-guessed all that because somebody had to run their yap. And and sometimes I skip the part where I realize that it hurt them. What was said shook them enough that there was a feeling, you know, emoted because of it. And, like, some of that's on me to make sure that you're not only recognizing that injustice was done and hurt was there, but then to also acknowledge the fact, like, you know why they're acting like that, right? The love of Christ doesn't act like that.
Right.
And so feel, you know, you don't necessarily have to pity them, but feel very sorry that they don't know who Jesus is, and see if there's any room for you to introduce them, because there's a reason that you don't act that way most of the time.
And that's where compassion comes in. Seeing a person for their situation and trying to see how God sees them and how he loves them. And it will definitely bridge gaps and cross oceans, because, you know, we've had that happen in our lives where God has opened our eyes to, you know, just see hurts and be able to understand where somebody might be coming from, because I've had that in my personal life with my father. You know, it wasn't the best relationship growing up, but I had struggled with a lot of anger beforehand with him and his attitude, his just uncaring attitude, and, you know, and then finding out and seeing some of his background where he was abandoned as a child. So he doesn't know how to, doesn't know how to be a proper parent, because he never had proper parents. And I had, my heart broke for that.
Yeah.
And it made me see and talk to him in a different light, you know, and in a different tone, and work around those things instead of having that be our barrier where we stop communicating at his first sign of shutting down. Instead, it's going around that, and because now we see the problem, so we can go around it and make sure that God's love is reaching in there and able to touch his heart where he needs it.
Yeah, so. I think that's something that me and the kids pray for every night. Is like, can you give me your eyes today? Mm. Can you help me to see, and not just like, can I see needs that people have? Because I mean, yes, but like when I'm talking to someone, can I see them how you see them? Because like, my lens is dirty. It's a dirty lens, and it assumes things about people. It assumes why they're saying what they're saying. It assumes motivations behind things that they're thinking. it assumes what they think about me. And, like, God doesn't he doesn't have that issue, right? Like, he sees people much cleaner than I do. And right. I mean, sometimes that's not a great view either. But the truth is that, like, I don't want to – I often bring myself into conversations or situations of which I've muddied the water and put something on the table that simply wasn't there.
Right.
And so I have to fight for, God, can I see this person the way that you see them? Because I know how God sees me, and I like that feeling.
Right.
And it's I like that, to know that there's a gracious Heavenly Father that cares about me and wants me to act in a certain way for my own benefit. And has put me to the work of his kingdom to bring people into it, and that's how he can look at me. Can I not look at other people in that same way?
Right.
And thus I understand God even better as I interact with people in that way too.
Right.
And that's something I constantly have to struggle with, because it's real easy. Like, we're in a world where you want to make decisions about things, right? Like, you don't want to be the doofus who's on the wrong side of something because you didn't catch on to somebody, or they were bamboozling you and you didn't get it. But, like, the truth is, following Jesus, there's just a risk of being someone, of giving people the benefit of the doubt,
right.
And sometimes people will disappoint you. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, if you never give them that realm to act and give them the grace to play in, they won't ever surprise you, which is a bad thing.
Right.
Because if you always do what I expect and I expect bad things, you know, sometimes I just want to be surprised.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
All right, Buva. But that's Silverside. Go to silverside.com so you can figure out where they're going and how you can stop by in on that thing. It's where you can order the CD Babies, where you can order the album, or you can download it from iTunes, listen to it on Spotify. Here's the deal. If you're going to dig on Spotify, go out and do that. Listen to it like 50 times, because that generates a few half cents every time. And then buy the thing so that you can listen to it when you're not around the internet. And that's a two-for-one special, and everybody digs on it.
Here's the deal.
Yep.
If you have 2 minutes to spare, you can buy that CD on CD Baby. It's easy. I did not have a profile beforehand. 2 minutes, I had the CD ordered.
You did it today?
I did it 5 minutes ago.
Well, that's impressive, Booba.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, I did it. You can do it on a radio show without people knowing about it. That's how easy it is
there you go.
To order that CD.
And he already has it.
Well, yeah.
You want the physical copy?
I want the physical copy. Okay. Yeah, I've got the download. I want the physical copy.
Here's the deal about physical copies. Dave Eric shows up here, what is it, 2 or 3 weeks ago with a cassette tape.
Oh,
he brings this cassette tape in here, and he's like, hey, anybody want to dig on this? And nobody has a cassette player except for me, because I drive a 98 Blazer.
So
and
you
I got,
get it.
There you go.
I got a cassette player. Hey, you should listen to this thing, though. It's the guy, it's the Voice of the Martyrs. He's the founder, right, Eric?
He's...
Or like one of the...
No, not the founder, but he's with him, yeah.
It's a heck of a deal.
Yeah?
It's a heck of a deal.
And hey, man, can I get a ride somewhere sometime? We can listen to it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Here's the deal. It'll put your life in some perspective is what it'll do. But here's one of the things that I really took away from that tape is the guy said is a lot of times we're constantly asking for God to just like give me something, give me a blessing, give me something so I can see, all this kind of stuff, like give, right? And he goes, how often do you see biblically where people are getting something, or that God is providing them something, where they haven't given up something first,
mm-hmm.
right? Where they're like making room. That's like kind of the premise of take up your cross, and like trading out my kingdom for his. And the truth is what I want to do is hold on to my kingdom until I see God's hand, and then I'm like, oh, okay, well, yeah, maybe I'll take that, right? But like, I'm generally not willing to give up until I feel like what God is offering me is better, and that's the foolish premise. And I think that's why sometimes stuff doesn't show up, is because I'm waiting for Him. I'm asking Him to have faith in me that He will show me something that I will react, versus me saying, God, take whatever it is out of my life that you need to take. Like, what do I need to give up so that I may see clearly what it is that you have for me. And it's weird that he said that, and then I've seen that reflected in so many stories that I've heard of people who think, here's what we're going to do. And like, I don't think it's God necessarily like, ha, ha, ha. But it's like, it's God saying, I know what you're thinking. I have something better. I just need that to get out of the way.
Right.
So that you can see that clearly, right?
Right.
And like guys on mission fields and guys planting churches, guys going somewhere and said, I got the exact strategy on how to reach these people. And they go there and like, it sucks. It doesn't do anything that they thought it would. Man-made plans. And like, once it fails and it dies and it stinks,
right.
And then you can see clearly what God has going on. And the truth was, it's like, it may not even had to be that way if we just approached it and said, God, let me see what's in the way and help me to get rid of it, as opposed to show me, so that I'm willing to make the trade and let go of this thing.
Right.
And it's the same process. It's just like, what it's the order. Am I asking for God, like, help me clear it out so that I can see clearly what you're up to. Anyway, I it was very powerful, especially coming from the perspective of the stuff that goes on with Voice of the Martyrs. Like, those guys are always going in like crazy places. I'd recommend it to you, but it's on an audio cassette in my car.
So what I took from that is if I'm praying for God to reveal to me a lady, one of his daughters to love on and marry, yeah, I have to give away my Star Wars figurine collection.
Yeah, here's the deal. That you offer that as an item, like it could be the Holy Spirit saying, yes, that's exactly what I want, Booba.
Man, I like those figurines. They're not toys, action figures.
Because here's the deal, is the lady that God wants to send you is going to look at those and be like, nerd.
And then she will be painting the brush correctly. I am a complete and total nerd.
You know, the funny thing is, my daughter would like to play with those, so...
Hey, that's not funny. That's not cool, man. Chewbacca's mine.
I'm just saying.
I paid good money for Chewbacca. Leave me alone.
So here's the other thing I heard this week, is that someone had told me that they had seen the Pope. And I'm like, what? The Pope ain't freaking around here. There ain't no Pope around here. And then they eventually describe where they saw the guy, and it's Booba's house.
Yeah.
Like, someone has mistaken Booba for the Pope. And so, and like, the deal was, is that there's a bunch of guys out there hanging up on his lawn, and he lives like on a ground floor of an apartment, so this is awkward.
Yeah.
There's a good 35, 40 people out
there. And the apartment complex is mad.
Yeah. And they said, people, you got to get out of here. And here's the only reason, the only way that people will leave is if Booba gives some sort of Pope style advice. Like, he's got to walk out on his balcony at the apartment.
What?
Like the Pope does. And he's got to give Pope style advice. Otherwise, they're not going to leave. So, Pope Booba, what's your Pope style? Oh, and it's got to be relevant to your life, too. You can't just be rattling stuff off. So, Booba, what's your Pope style advice this week?
Recently, I was convicted that you have to give away all your Star Wars figurines if you're looking for a lady who does not need a nerd. So, I don't know, guys. Get off the lawn and go sell your action figures. Whatever. I'm going to pray on this because I don't know. I don't know if that, I mean, if the Holy Spirit's revealing that, I might have to Gideon that a little. We might need to fleece that a little bit. I'm going to put Chewbacca outside, and if his fur gets wet, I'm going to take it back inside. It gets dry, man. All right, fine.
Here's play Star Wars roulette. So here's what you do: is you say, well, who's the guy? Japheth? Who's the guy? You say, hey, Lord, I'm gonna close my eyes, I'm gonna fast forward the Star Wars, and wherever I pause it, I'm gonna open my eyes, and that's who I will sacrifice.
Oh man,
it's Japheth, right? Do I got the right guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm totally gonna watch Episode 1 to make sure it's Jar Jar. Make sure it's Jar Jar. All right. So,
Pope-style advice.
Fine. Go. People are on my lawn. Okay. So, youth does not mean you get to be irresponsible. I have had it. I've seriously had it with society thinking that if you don't have a family, you don't have a wife, you're not currently engaged or married, and you don't have any kids, that means that you get to be a child until the time when you've decided that you are man enough or woman enough to take that on. It makes absolutely no sense to say to yourself or say to your kids or say to people around you that, hey, you can act like a complete and total idiot until you find somebody that you're ready to settle down with, and then you're going to settle down with them, and that's going to make you an adult. You did not have to spend any time before that learning how to be an adult, and your relationship's going to go great. It does not make sense to me. Recently, I was in a conversation with someone from my work who said to me that he thought I needed to spend some time being 23. He said, Troy, I really want you to just spend some time being 23. You know, you do too much. You're involved in too much, which I don't know where that came from. But he says, you know, you're always telling me about all these things you do every weekend. You come in here and then you're just tired all the time. You know, why don't you just spend a day playing video games? Why don't you just go and hang out with friends all day and do nothing? And I thought to myself, I was a little bit, you know, reserved about it. And they said, you know, just go spend time being 23. And it made me laugh because being 23 and not having any wife or any kids means something completely different to me. Being 23 means the exact opposite. It means that if I don't have a wife and I don't have kids and I don't have you know, responsibilities that I have to be there for at all times, I don't even have pets that I have to take care of, that means that I have plenty of time for other stuff that is kingdom living. That means that there's plenty of time that I have in my schedule that I need to be devoting to spending time learning more about Christ, learning more about God's heart and what he wants for me, and then spending time loving on his people and taking care of them. Every single one of us is called to take care of the orphans. We're all called to take care of the widows. We're all called to take care of the people who need help. What better time to do that than when you are 23 and you don't have a lot of stuff you're taking care of? What better time to spend 60 hours a week doing that when you don't have to be home at 10 o'clock to take, or excuse me, 8 o'clock to take care of your kids and make sure they get in bed? What better time than when you don't have a wife waiting up for you or a husband waiting up for you to get taken care of? There's not a better time. And it just, it made me sad that that was the thought process. And when I put that out to a couple people, a lot of people agreed with that. They said, absolutely. You know, you're 23. Go spend time just doing something stupid. When was the last time you just sat down and watched Netflix all day? You know, just all day, a whole Saturday, didn't do any laundry, didn't clean up any part of the house, no dishes, no spending time with other people, just watched, just steamed through a whole episode or show that you love. And it made me sad how many people agreed with that thought process and said, yeah, go spend time being 23. Go spend time being a kid, basically. And it just, it hurt my heart, because if that's what our society does, we are wasting so much time. And if we can build up young adults to realize that this time is critical for you to truly figure out what God has in store for you, and to truly fall in love with Him and fall in love with who He is and what He offers, it just makes me sad, because I know that there's so much potential that is being thrown away by my generation. Completely thrown away. And it makes me sad that there's so many people my age that look at me and go, man, you're a great guy because you didn't just play video games all day. It's like, that's sad and that's wrong. That's completely wrong. And I wish that people from adults to the young age kids and to the young adults completely destroyed that mentality. We need adults to stop saying to their kids, hey, go be a kid when they're 18 years old. It makes no sense. We need adults to put responsibility upon their kids at 9, at 6, to start teaching them what it's like to be an adult. Because it's not like you hit 18 and then you start figuring stuff out. And it's not like you hit 22 and you graduate from college and that's when you're supposed to be an adult. You're supposed to have been an adult and been responsible for a very long time. And it kills me. And the kids out there and the young adults who think to themselves, I'm still in that stage in my life where I don't have responsibilities and I'm going to put them off as long as I can. I say to you, you're missing so much. You're missing so much of what God has in store for you. You're missing so much of what your potential is, and you're missing so much of what the world has to offer. There's so much here that God is just waiting to show you, for you to step up, man up or woman up, to what you need to do and realize that, yes, you may be young, you may be youthful, but that is not a call to irresponsibility. That is a call to responsibility. You have the time to do it more than the father or mother of two. You have the time to do it more than the grandparents. You do. Get out there and do it. Stop acting like you're too young to have responsibility and to make a difference, because you aren't. You can seriously change some stuff, and you can be a warrior for Christ and going out and truly speaking His name to people. You have plenty of time. You're the kind of person that can be downtown at 2 o'clock in the morning and speak to that one person that really needs you, because you don't have a family sitting at home waiting for you. And I expect you to do it. Man up. Woman up, get off your butt, and stop thinking that you get to be irresponsible. You've got work to do. Christ is calling you. Get out there. And that's my post-op.
Hey, man, Pope Buva is giving you the business, especially if you're like 18 and hanging out by his apartment.
Right?
You're not putting up with that business at all.
I just need to say that I feel like doing something with my life right now.
That was great. We need you in our van, just like constantly.
If you're in a band right now, and all you do is hang out in a van all day, and you show up to random late night radio programs, get off your butt. You're being called to respond.
No, but I really think that you have very valid points, and I really want you to know that you should do a motivational seminar for your church.
Bingo.
You really should. I can't see what your response is to my...
I can show you mine.
Smile. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I really think that there are a lot of people who could benefit from...
Yeah, but see, they're going to be home watching video games and stuff.
Yes.
So
yes,
all the old people will show up saying, yeah, preach it.
Yeah.
So, okay. I'm going to take over this radio station with a three-legged donkey.
Okay, yeah, right. Make it happen.
Okay, this radio show right now is being taken over, Silverside. Yeah, there we go. A three-legged donkey.
Was that part of a metaphor that you were leading to, or you just wanted to parade a three-legged donkey across the way?
I had him, galloping earlier. I don't know if you saw that, but... I have to apologize. My voice is so shot that I don't think I can do another song right now. But I do want to... introduce my band.
Yes, please do.
I don't know how much time we have left, but I do want to talk on a topic of particular interest that has arisen in our band.
Yeah.
As of late.
Let's do it.
But first I want to, y'all know Nathan, who's right here.
Peace.
My hand.
Yep.
This is Nathan. He plays bass normally for us in our band, and he was rocking the guitar tonight. He is also my husband and confidant. Over to my left here, can we see? Is my face?
I'm in the shot.
This, right here. This is Nate, Sir Fairbotham. He plays our drums, and if you come to the benefit show tomorrow, you will hear him just making sweet, sweet music on his drums. And then the one that you guys haven't met yet is Zach. We found him under a bridge.
Wow.
And
wait, I thought I was the one under the bridge.
No, you were on the side
of the
road.
On the side of the road.
Oh.
He was trolling underneath the bridge.
I thought he was at the pawn shop.
Well, he was earlier.
And then we found him underneath the bridge.
Man, at the pawn shop, then underneath the bridge.
That's tough life. That seems like the right order.
Yeah, you're getting out and seeing things, man. That's awesome.
Zach Cullins is the latest addition to our band, and we hope permanent member. We're crossing our fingers. We love him, but he was rocking the bass for us tonight, but he's actually our guitar player, and they did that tonight because they wanted to throw a little curveball at each other and swap instruments for you.
Sweet.
So we thought that was a little fun, but he is a great addition. And again, you'll be able to hear everything tomorrow once y'all come out to the benefit show for the Job Ministries. And you'll be able to hear him riff it up.
Sweet.
He should say something, though.
Something.
Classic.
That's usually our first tour we had with Zach. That's really what we got from him. We're like, hey, how you doing, man? He's like, yep.
I used to act that way, and then they threw me underneath a bridge, and that was the end of that story.
But we love him, and we love everybody in the band. I have three amazing
guys. Well, I hope so.
Guys.
That'd be awkward if one guy's like, yeah, we don't really like that guy much, but
yeah,
he keeps getting
here,
in the band.
he just won't not leave. Oh, no.
Pope Buva said, get out and do something. Get out of this van.
Get out of the van. No, we really have a great working relationship, I feel, with everybody in the band. I would hope everyone agrees.
Yeah.
Once again, not the time to hash it out, so just kind of smile and agree.
We're talking about this in the ride home.
But the music has come so far, and we're really excited to write. We've started doing a little bit of writing for our next album, and we feel it's going to go in a larger, more awesome direction than even Casting Shadows did for us. So definitely be on the lookout for that probably in the next year. And then I'm going to move it back a year. So no, I'm just joking. We have a good formula now. We have a really good formula. We're going to stick to it because it works. And
hey, wait, if you need a shifty producer that doesn't do the right thing, I'm your man.
Okay, right on.
I can be the interim guy that you reject.
Yeah.
For free. For free.
You can say, yeah, I tried and failed on their first album.
Yeah, there. Yeah, I can do that. That's no problem. Anything I can do to help.
Awesome. I do really want to... I don't know if anybody in the band wants to say anything before I want to talk about Remedy Live.
No. Go ahead and spit that, Remedy. Mm.
You know me.
Yeah. Not saying a word.
Okay. All right. So we've been recently just talking about band and partnering with programs, and I know that a lot of times you see bands who are partnered with a child sponsorship and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, for either building wells, getting water, school supplies, getting, you know, sponsoring kids who need X, Y, and Z. And that's great, and we're not here to knock that because we actually used to be a part of that. It's a great ministry called Mission of Mercy, and that was, we were part of that for a while, and it was awesome. But I just couldn't break away within our shows to go from talking about our message, which is based heavily on fighting depression, finding hope, and healing from broken hearts, and allowing God to move in your heart to heal physical scars from cutting and self-harm. I couldn't justify any more switching gears midway through our shows to talk about a kid who needed water or, you know, school supplies. And again, I'm not knocking that, because if you do go to a band show who does have that, please look into sponsoring a child. But my heart wasn't in it, and I hope that you can respect when I say that, that, you know, that's just not what I was feeling. And I really was praying that God would bring an organization that we could partner with that would have nothing that we could gain from it, but something that we could give. And that just happened. We were literally talking. We just played Ichthus Festival a couple days ago in Lexington, Kentucky. And we were interviewed by a company called Remedy Live. They're out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. And what it is a helpline. Essentially, they are a service that Google got behind and is sponsoring them and giving them money to advertise. And they have, anytime anybody searches, I want to, you know, how to kill myself, or how can I hurt myself, you know, in this way or whatever, their search comes up at the top of the list saying Remedy Live, you know, and answers here, help here, questions here.
Right.
And this was literally perfect, and it dropped right into our laps. They wanted to interview us at this, at the festival, and
they didn't know anything about us before we even got in there.
It was a complete God thing.
It was a random occurrence. They're like, hey, so we don't know much about you guys, so we really want you to share your hearts. And we're like, ironically enough, like, this is our heart, and, you know, this is our testimony that we share from stage. So it was like, it was a beautiful
thing.
It was
a beautiful pairing. Cool. And yeah. So they want to work with us. And all it is handing out, all we do is make available these cards that we have. And I'm so sad that I didn't bring one tonight, but all it says is fighting negativity with positivity. And it says call or text to chat or to text anonymously, and you can call or text and spill your heart, and there's just somebody to listen. Yeah. There's somebody to pray with you. There's somebody to give you wise, godly counsel, and that's where our hearts are at right now, and that's what we are completely sold out on right now, just having, because it sucks for us in a sense where we come, we play shows, we meet all these people who, you know, are hurting in such dire ways sometimes, and we can't stay in town to continue to minister to them. But this is a way, this is a tangible way that they can take something from our shows home with them, to where if they need to sit and talk with somebody, they can. And they got it from our show, so they relate to us in that way. And they're like, and it, I feel like it makes a bigger impact in them when they want to go and maybe Google something like that, or say, well, hey, I remember this band talked about this and I got this card, so maybe I'll try this first. So that's what we're hoping. We're hoping that God will just move through that. And we handed out quite a bit of cards. Yesterday was the first time we presented them. And we handed out quite a bit of them with people thanking us for making them available. So I'm so excited to be partnered with something that is making a difference in people's lives. And they're getting hits more than their allowance a day.
Yeah. They're getting $1 million grants, and they're hitting their, like, you know how
for their daily,
you search something on given. Google.
Yeah.
And Google pulls it up, and they're filling their allotted, like, the
their
statistics
daily allotment
are
in hours. Just
yeah.
An hour or so. Yeah. Of just people searching, calling.
That's sad.
And it yeah. is.
You know what I'm saying?
It really is.
Like, I mean, it's, encouraging that at least there's something showing up after they do that, but like the fact that fills in a couple hours, you know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Well, the majority, what they shared with us was the majority of people calling in or texting in are not Christian. So that's the impact they're having. And they're, the I'm assuming, you know, the conversations are there, and I know that they're God-centered. So at least when they're calling, they're getting something.
Right.
And they're getting something that is feeding into them with positive, hopeful, God-centered advice, or, you know, however they handle it. I'm not a counselor, and I do not ever claim to be. So it's something that we're definitely happy to be a part of. And, again, just loving the effect that, you know, it's having on people so far.
I think that's so important, because as society, as people, more and more are involved in, you know, self-destructive lifestyles and running away from God as much as possible. At some point, they hit a point and realize, wow, this isn't working. Mm-hmm. This isn't what I thought it would be. I was hoping this would bring satisfaction and joy and whatever. And in many cases, the church has kind of closed the door to a lot of people. And so we're like the last place, and many people will go to. And so it's great to have a resource like that, a ministry. I'll text it, some dude I don't know who it is before I'll go to that church.
Right.
You know, and God's still there. God's still going to work. You know, and it's cool to see him. That's exciting to me to see that.
It is, and that's why I think we were so so happy and in awe of how God worked, because we were just talking about it that morning. How I said, you know, give me a suicide, you know, awareness and prevention corporation that I can hand out pamphlets at our show and not make a dime off of before, you know, any other thing that comes about that would benefit us in any way other than seeing people's lives literally changed in front of us. So we're, I don't know, you know, I don't want to be self-righteous about it, but, you know, we're here for more than just trying to make money at a show and trying to, you know, I want to have a consistency of caring, loving, and serving off stage and on stage.
Yeah.
And if we can carry that over into letting them leave with something that they feel is going to, if they need it, then they need it. And that might fill a void for having to talk to somebody. Because even us, like, we get drained. I know I get a ton of messages just from girls who, you know, need to talk and need to do this and that. And it, on top of everything else that I have to do personally in the band, and then the guys are busy, and it's, you know, we get overrun just ourselves.
Yeah.
So, and to be able to not shift it so much, but to give them that option to, you know, have somebody who's going to be there and not have to wait in a line of messages for, you know, me to get back to them. But they can be there ready and willing to talk and pray and however their needs need to be met. It lightens my heart a lot about it. So, yeah. So I feel like we've been talking about a lot of depressing things. Let's talk about how bad my voice sounds.
Beautiful. Let's talk about how you've been listening to Live from the Path on livefromthepath.org, broadcasting every Monday night at 10 p.m., also Saturdays on 99.3 KTIA. Shows brought to you by Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower team. Listen, we love this dude. He's frankly the only reason we're on the air. Him and, well, it's mostly Jesus holding the thing up, but Bob helps.
Yeah, Bob helps.
If you're in the mood for buying or selling, or you frankly don't know anything about it, want to know something about it, check out the Eisenhower team. For all your real estate needs. And also Westfield Veterinary Hospital here in Johnston, Iowa. They handle all our pet stuff. They will continue to do it for the expansive future.
Yeah, I had a dog in there this week. Oh, shoot. That's not good news. Maybe I'll talk about that later.
You're listening to Live from the Path at livefromthepath.org. If you're listening on the podcast, we got way more show coming up. And by way more, I mean like 15, 20 minutes.
It's not much.
But stick around. We'll catch you after the break.
Yeah, I forgot. I don't know what I thought about that. So we had my dog in, and my dog is like losing crazy amounts of weight. I mean, crazy. So like they found like a mass in her stomach, and so that's why like no food is able to get through. She keeps just like throwing it all up. It's not good news. It's rough times. Anyway.
Yeah,
you're right.
My dog was getting close.
What are you doing?
All them dogs sweating out there.
I'm not sure.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to. I was looking at the Dear Life from the Past, and the thing plays.
It's making noise.
Movies on its own.
All right, yeah. What do you got here, Mike? Maybe let's do a couple, and then we can call this thing a night.
Well, this looks okay. This looks awesome.
Okay.
Dear Life. I haven't really read it, so we'll see. Dear Life from the Past. I recently moved in with my boyfriend, Teddy. We are both in our 20s. 5 years ago, he married his high school sweetheart. 2 years later, she cheated on him and left. Teddy and I have talked about the situation countless times. I know he doesn't love her anymore and cares for me a lot. Life from the Pap, I lose sleep over their relationship. I can't stop thinking about how she left him, not the other way around, and if he hadn't caught her cheating, they would still be together. I Google her to see if I could find out anything about them. I check her social media sites multiple times a day.
Oh,
I know I'm being ridiculous, but I'm obsessed with her.
Yes.
Teddy is such a caring man. He tells me everything I want to know, but my obsession with her and the relationship is starting to get to him. I don't want to lose him, but at the same time, I wonder if I will have to leave because I can't get over their marriage. What should I do?
Okay, you're worried about the wrong relationship? You're living with some dude who you're not married to, who's been married to someone else. Go ahead and either get married and get on with your life, or... You need to make a change. Something. She's living a pretty dead end life.
Well, that's
right there.
I mean, think about that. Think of like if you spent your days worried about a relationship that is past, and like I mean, you're invested checking into social media and stuff. Like that's not a good foundation to be doing long term relationship with this fella.
Yeah, she spends more time thinking about their relationship than she does with him and her. Unfortunately. It just does not sound like I don't think they should even get married. If she's that invested in a relationship that he was once in, and he has not actually shown signs.
Yeah, my counsel for him is to leave.
Yeah, exactly. Like he has not shown signs that he has been, you know, invested in the old relationship. It sounds like he's moved on and everything like that. She's just like way too into this old relationship. It doesn't sound like she should move into the next one with this new guy. It doesn't sound like anything's going to change.
He makes poor choices in women.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know if I go that far, but all right.
Well, the first one cheated on him. The second one's odd.
Fair enough. All right. To her, you need to walk out of this relationship.
All right.
That was it. That's the advice. Silverside, you got anything? Anybody?
Yeah. Spit it. Come
man.
On. Do the right thing.
She needs to. She needs to stop obsessing. I mean, she's gonna sabotage her own relationship, honestly. And that's I mean, I understand, but there's a point where you just have to let go. And he's obviously made a choice to be with you, and to moving in is a commitment. And I would say either, you know, get married or move on. If you don't feel that you're going to be able to get over his old relationship, then, which he obviously seems to have, you know, then get out.
Yeah, here the truth of the matter is that no man can carry that. No man can carry the weight of you having that much invested in a previous relationship that he had, or B, your life is based on him solely, that you're spending hours, you know, relativizing about his past, right? Like, a man is not built to carry that. God's built to carry that, but a man is not. And so if you put that weight on that dude, he will drop it and fail, and the whole thing's it's not going to last. The best advice, and it sounds sour, but like you got to, it's done. You're just going to have to break some, spend some time apart or something. Mm-hmm. But like he can't carry that along with what he's supposed to be doing as well. It's just not going to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Secular says, there's an old saying that applies to your situation. One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Oh, man.
No, it doesn't. That actually has no relevance here. But thank you. Your boyfriend's ex didn't recognize what a prize she had, fouled the nest, and threw him away. How lucky for you that she did. I can understand you're being curious about her. What I can't understand is your compulsion to stalk her online. I could, actually. That's the safest way to do it.
Yeah.
You go up to somebody straight up on this. I mean, that's just creepy.
Yeah,
but if you do it online, I mean, I understand why she'd do it.
Yeah.
What she's doing these days has no effect on you or relationship with Teddy. If you keep this up, you will drive him away. If you can't stop, find a licensed mental health professional who can give you the tools to overcome your insecurity.
You go.
Will be money well spent.
Here's the deal. I'm hesitant as to whether Teddy is his class act.
No, here's the deal. I'm not.
Is Teddy that great?
Yeah. I don't even know that he is. I just know that like even a class act can't carry that.
No, that's true. I'm just saying. I wonder if she's based upon her other personality characteristics, whether she's a little taken in by Teddy Suave over here, who may not be worth $1 million.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with that.
Okay.
Ready for number two here?
Yeah, number two.
Okay, dear Life from the Path. Last spring, my husband and I found out we're pregnant with our first child. We were thrilled, of course, but out of caution, we decided not to tell anyone outside our immediate family for a few weeks. I'm a teacher at a large school, and I decided to confine in my teaching assistant so she would understand if I seemed tired or wasn't feeling well. She was excited. Within 5 minutes of telling her, she had literally shouted the news to several other staff members. I asked her to please stop, and in particular, not to tell the students. The next day, there was a large banner hanging over my classroom door that read, "Bun in the Oven." I was mortified and furious. She is otherwise an excellent assistant. How do I deal with her refusal to remain quiet?
Reconsider your definition of excellent assistant.
Right. You asked her not to do something. She did the exact opposite. Actually, she did it with a banner.
Yeah, I have personal information that I prefer you not share. I yelled it, like literally yelled it to people within seconds, and then had a banner created overnight. Yeah, I would reconsider.
Excellent. Let's put this in any other situation. Like, hey, I'm going to tell you, Dan, something I really don't want you to tell anybody, and then you turn around and scream it to everybody around, and I go, all right, he's not a very good assistant. Yeah. And then the next day I go, hey, by the way, remember, don't tell anybody else. And there's a banner over my door that says, hey, Boova did this. I don't think I'm friends with Dan anymore. Dan, I'm not telling you anything.
You see the commercial about Boova's bunions that Dan put out on public access cable?
Exactly. Like, hey, man, why'd you put that out there?
I said that man to man. I've got bunions.
I specifically said, hey, don't tell anybody. And you put a banner up. How are you going to deal with this person? First off, you need to tell them, hey, that was kind of messed up. And then never trust them again with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's it. There's nothing you can do. Yeah, it's already been done. Yeah. So it's just you can't tell them anything ever again.
Right.
For your purposes if you want stuff spread.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to come back with some kind of justice that you need to be served or anything like that. It's just, hey, well, it looks like Sandy can't keep her mouth shut on some of this stuff. So the next bun in the oven I've got, I'm definitely not telling her.
No, wait, Dan, was your advice to use her as a gossip distribution
point? I think that's the only thing she's really good for.
There's only Owen the Tater Tots.
Hey, Dan, did you notice that I'm looking great recently with all of my weight loss? By the way, don't tell anybody.
Don't tell us all.
Honestly, I have used that tactic. If there's something I don't want to personally say because, you know, I want to be humble about it or something, tell the right person and they tell everybody. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, that happened.
That is not exactly textbook humility.
No, it's not.
Just because you didn't say it doesn't mean that you're being humble. It's like, hey, by the way, I wanted to tell you about these awards that I got recently. Don't tell anybody, though. And then they go out, hey, Dan got awards. And you're thinking to yourself, I'm humble. Looks like I feel a fooled God into thinking I'm humble.
Two for one, Jesus. Well played.
That's modern humility, though, right? Like, you don't want to show yourself winning an award, but you certainly have your wife take a picture of it, put it on Facebook for you.
Yeah, there you
Look what my husband did. Well, I did do that. Like. Yeah, here's the truth of the matter. Like, probably what happened is you weren't straightforward enough when you explained it. And the lady obviously doesn't understand some of the apprehension and anxiety a first-time mom has or any mother has in the beginning parts of their pregnancy. And, like, she's just a little young to maybe get it. She was a bit overzealous. And so, like, she basically made a big huge mistake.
I'm sorry, a bit – that's a banner that says bun in the oven. That's not a bit overzealous.
Here's the deal. Some people celebrate differently than you. You're just a curmudgeon. Hold on. To prove my point, have you ever purchased a banner for anything?
No.
Well, then, you're not a banner kind of guy.
Shoot, yeah.
I'm just saying that it's part of some people's wheelhouse. It's just not part of yours.
I've bought more pieces of carrot cake than I could reasonably eat personally.
Definitely relevant.
Isn't that excitement?
Here's what Secular says.
It's optimistic, at
Let's
least.
See if it can be more helpful than Ben's jaded view of the world.
Now that you know you cannot share anything in confidence with your teacher's assistant, make a mental note not to make that mistake again. There's a saying. Here's another good saying. Once two people know a secret, it is no longer a secret.
Wow. The pearls of wisdom are coming out like a quarter machine today.
I mean, it has a predicate. It does qualify as a sentence.
All she had to do was tell one person and the cat was out of the bag. Because she's an excellent teaching assistant, deal with her by telling her only what you would want broadcast over the public address system.
Hey, man.
Fair enough.
You ever wonder what kind of shifty individual first used the phrase cat out of the bag? Because it implies he's capturing cats and keeping them locked up in sacks somewhere. I gotta say, like, that's a creepy dude.
Hey, yeah, let the cat out of the bag. Too. Hey, who let this cat out of the bag? I spent a lot of time catching those cats. Do you realize how difficult it is to catch cats in bags? What is wrong with you? And then someone said, I think he meant that someone let out a secret. No, literal cats out of a literal bag. You jerk.
That's awesome. You know that's my cat bag. I hope you didn't take that to the grocery store. You know I keep cats in there. Dang it, woman. All right, you got time for one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
All right, dear life from the path, my fiance, Jasper.
Oh, boy.
People are ridiculous. You know, if the man's name is Chuck, you could just go with Charlie or something. You don't have to make something up. My fiance, Jasper, says I'm weird for talking to my daughter while I'm driving to work and 90% of the time on my commute back home. She's a young mother with a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old. Her husband is difficult, and there are also some personal issues. But I am proud of how well she's doing. I work full-time, she works part-time, so even though we live in the same town, we don't see each other as often as we'd like. At 25, she is growing into my best friend. Ooh, boy. And I love helping her through decisions, etc. I don't agree that this is weird at all. I believe most mothers and daughters do this. How can I get through to my fiancé that this is normal? Even if it weren't, it isn't getting in his way or taking anything away from him. Don't you agree he should just let me be?
Yeah, I don't know what the heck he cares.
Nah.
You're driving back and forth to work talking to one of your kids on the phone, and he's got something to say about it?
I feel like we're missing something here. Like, yeah. It just doesn't seem like there's a dude that's going, hey, man, you're talking to your daughter? That's weird. Like, that just does not sound like the actual situation. There's got to be some kind of weird conversation that's going on between the two of them.
I feel like
creepy.
I feel like you might need to go get a job. Find something better to do with this time than
second job?
Yeah. Yeah, second job.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I got a lot of time sitting around at home. I'm going to go stalk my wife on who she's talking to.
Sweetheart, I looked at your phone records. I could tell that you were talking to your daughter the whole way home today.
And did you let the cat out of the bag?
I spent a lot of time on that cat.
Yeah, why are you riding around with your lady all the time? You know, will you get a car or something or do something independently? He's basically, I mean, she's giving him rides everywhere. He has, yeah, I mean, hey, can you pull
over? Wait a minute. I guess I didn't think about that. He's in the car?
Yeah, how else does he know this?
Maybe she tells him.
Yeah. She probably tells him. Yeah.
Why would you walk in the door and be like, by the way, I talked to my daughter. How was your day?
Conversation. I mean,
no, that's I know this really irritates you. I just want to let you know I'm still calling her.
Now, here's the deal. That man is in the car. And every couple of minutes,
he's going to work with her.
He's like, hey, she got to give him a ride to whatever low-rent job he's got. Hey, can we stop at the gas station? Hey, will you buy me a sausage McMuffin? Are you calling your daughter again? Humph. That's him. I know this dude. I've met him before.
He's like a mob salesman, Jasper.
We habitually criminalize the dudes in all stories. That's all I'm saying. Like, this guy went from maybe he's just got some weird thought processes on how his fiance talks to his daughter, too. He is obviously a bum that rides with her at all times.
Mike's got him as like,
hey, why aren't you spending time with me? I see you're talking to your daughter. Hey, pay attention to me. Hey, look what I can do. Ooh.
Yeah, right. He's a little overstepped his bounds. Mike's turned him into an emasculated freeloader.
Exactly. Her fiance is 18 years old, and he's just now understanding the world, and he's going, hey, look at me. Hey. Talking to your daughter, and I don't appreciate that.
Here's the only red flag I see is a concern of the mom not allowing the daughter to leave and cleave with her husband, because she's bringing up, well, he's a little off, he's not so nice, blah blah blah. Why did she bring that up? Like, maybe she needs to back off a little bit to let her daughter deal with the relationship with her husband. But that's not the issue. But that's
right. Well, we don't know.
That might be true.
Right. And that's the thing. We don't know what the issue is. It could be mom's getting like too involved in the situation, and fiance wants her to back off because he
called the husband. Hey, tell your wife.
And he, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, well, why are you talking to your daughter again? Why don't you leave them alone and stop meddling in their situation? Maybe that's what I mean. This is only speculation, obviously, but it does raise some questions where, like, who would deny a mother to talk with their daughter? Like, what human alive is
a lazy
like
freeloader who gets riding to work everywhere?
So then, and I agree that the situation does seem a little questionable, because I don't feel like we do have all the information, and that could be the rest of the information. It could not be. Who knows?
His name's Jasper. I mean,
it's a fake name.
I say talk to your mom. I say talk to your daughter all the time. Like, I wish I could talk to my mom. You know, it's like, But if there is something going on where mom is a little too, you know, husbands and wives need to work out issues within themselves. And if there's something that needs to be taken into a counseling position, take it away from the families. Families only, you know, side with their own. So, you know, it's better left that way. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Super weird.
All right. So I'm just in complete disagreement. Jasper's a boob. And that's where I'm at on that. Let's see what secular.
No surprise there.
See what secular has to say. secular says yes. The question was, don't you agree he should just let me be? Secular says yes, I do. If your fiance Jasper had said he was concerned about you might get into an accident because your conversations were distracting, I would answer differently. However, that he would label your closeness to your daughter weird makes me wonder if he might be jealous of the bond you share with her. Are you giving him his fair share of attention? I had a rough day at work, Jasper. Are you feeling attention-advised?
All right, you're listening to Life from the Path.
No, pay more attention to me. I'm Jasper.
All right, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Big thanks to Silverside for coming in. Always love to see you guys. Go to silverside.com. You can hook up with them. Make sure you find out where they're going and then go there and enjoy the show. If you're in the Des Moines metro area or within 6 or 7 hours, I still feel like you can come into the show on July 14th.
Yeah.
It's at 7 o'clock, 6523 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. Starts at 7 o'clock, and it's to benefit Joppa. All the proceeds go to there, and it'll take care of the Des Moines homeless.
Even if you don't have a car, maybe your fiance can give you a ride.
Maybe you can freeload.
Yeah.
Because your name is Jasper. All right, big thanks to Bob Eisen with the Eisen team and the Truth Network. Hey, they gave us the advertisement to make sure we could get the word out on the on that benefit show for Joppa. So big thanks to Mr. Roloff and the Truth Network, for having us on legitimately and for running the ads this week. Thanks for listening to Life from the Path. Here's the deal. Honestly, be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. Thanks for listening to Life from the Path. Yeah.